Thomas for my Tuesday evening show. I'm here every week from 6 to 8 Eastern Time, and I've got a really very good guest today. Well, you'll get to know him if you don't know him, and, you know, a lot of people don't know him, and they should. Look, Tom Mack is a writer, a musician, explorer, computer expert, all kinds of things, but we're going to start with your writing. That okay with you?
Sounds good to me. How are you doing this evening?
Not too bad. I've got a few questions. Later on, I'll be a little argumentative for the sake of entertainment. I actually disagreed on a few things, but let's start with a book that I have no opinions of whatsoever, and it sounds like a good book. Cyber Love's Illusions. Look, you tell everyone afterwards how to get the book, but the blurb is it exposes the intricacies of West African romance scamming and how it finances Islamic terrorism. There's the intro. What's this book about?
Actually, there's two books now. I wrote it with another lady. Her name is Anna Alden Tyrrell. And I used a pen name because at the time we were getting a number of death threats. And since I was traveling around a lot in those days, the publishers just assumed I didn't die before the book got written. I didn't think it was much because I was in the Army. I can take care of myself. If they want to go shooting, I can find a way to sneak away.
Well, who's going to be shooting?
Well, the West African scammers who make not millions but billions of dollars off of this every year.
And we're talking West Africa, Nigeria?
Well, Nigeria is probably what you'd call a focal point. But they've sort of spread out into the rest of that country and into Benin, which is next door, the Central African Republic, which is next door to Nigeria on the other side. And actually, it's wandered into a good portion of West Africa, even because the governments there, they're just glad for the money coming in because people with money spend it.
All right, now, first of all, if you want to talk Nigeria, everyone knows if you get an email from Nigeria, have nothing to do with it.
But the thing is, you'd be surprised how many people don't know that.
Really. It's like a basic internet fact. Don't have anything to do with Nigerian anything.
Okay, well, what really makes these guys stand out is they do not just send you an email and try to fall in love with you. What they do is they go on these internet dating sites, and there's literally thousands of them now.
Right.
I mean, if you have a dachshund puppy and you want to find another mate that loves dachshunds too, there's a website for it. And you can get on with women who like dachshunds and, you know, it becomes a meeting point. But almost all of them have problems with scammers. I've only found maybe two or three websites at most who are really what you would call vigilant about keeping them off.
You're telling me that big sites, I know JDate, and I dated on it at one time, and it was great. I mean, really, it was very useful. You're saying that out there are scamming women?
Well, what it is, what you don't realize is if I wanted to start scamming, all I'd have to do is go to a modeling site. Good example is FocusHawaii.com. And I can pull a picture of one of those models off of that site. It's easy to do. It takes all of about maybe 20 seconds, and that's if your computer's slow. You pull off a few of those pictures of your favorite model. Then you take those pictures, pop them on these dating sites, because they don't verify what you look like.
Right.
And they put them on there.
Then they start. The person is going to meet whoever is faking their model. Aren't they going to meet them at some time in person?
Unfortunately, not. Because what they will do is they will say, gee, I'd love to meet you, but I'm in Great Britain right now on business. And
so how do
so they'll come up with 100 reasons they can't come see you.
So what are they going to ask for that you're going to donate to them?
Well, what they're going to do first is they're going to develop a relationship. And believe me, IMs open that up faster than anything. You start IMing a person, you start building that model's image into your head that that's who you're talking to. It's a very slow psychological process. You start talking to this person starts saying nice stuff about you. Actually, it isn't women that they use. They have more success doing men. They go get
some hands. So these beautiful Russian 21-year-olds who are always writing me are trying to scam me?
I would say very, very good chance.
You know, the giveaway is if your name isn't in the approach, if it's like a general approach, I saw you on the internet or something stupid like that, you just ignore it.
Yeah, I do, but you'd be surprised how many lonely hearts won't. I've run into more than once. In fact, two doors down in the place I live, a lady was picking guys off Facebook. And she invited one of them over here, and he came over here and beat her up, raped her, and everything else.
Wait. So this, I'm not sure where you're getting at, but this doesn't sound like scamming. It sounds like she invited into her home an assailant.
Yeah. In this case, it was an assailant. But when you get to West African romance scammers, they can play that they're anywhere doing anything. And basically what they do is they use the IM to develop a relationship. And you'll be surprised how fast that can form. And they're willing to wait. They're willing to go at it for 2 or 3 months with you.
So
and
they're
maybe
psychological
some
experts. They can read what you're sending and somehow twist that to their own nefarious purposes.
Exactly. And what they do after they've developed that relationship, one, to seal it, they'll use their fancy list of stolen credit card numbers and send the lady some flowers. You want to win over a lady, you send her flowers. I've been told that ever since I was a little kid. And they see that, they say, oh my gosh, he's really, really interested. And he's handsome, he's young. And that should be a little bit of a clue, but for a lot of them, when they get love struck like that, good common sense goes right out the door.
By the way, are they writing in, you know, it's not their native language, and they're probably not all that educated. What are they writing in?
They're writing in English. You have to realize in a lot of their schools, English is their second language. Because Nigeria is a
French
colony.
Explain from where, because the language should give them away.
And it should, but when you're love-struck and when you've got some man interested in you, when you're, say, 50, 55 years old or older, you know, sometimes they think, could it be? I maybe have hit the jackpot.
Okay, that's the woman. The men
and guys go the same way. I talked to a guy from Phoenix, Arizona. He's my age. He's in his late 50s. And this guy got love struck with what he thought was a 25-year-old model. And he literally maxed out all his credit cards, mortgaged his house, everything, just to get this woman over here to marry him. And
why
course,
would he have to do that?
Because he fell in love.
No, but what are they asking for? How does this scam work?
Okay. after they develop the relationship and they've got you love struck, then they start saying, yeah, Barry, I'd love to come see you, but I don't have any money. And
fine, you send a ticket.
Well, they'll just cash it in, but they'll send you a... But most of them will say, oh, I can't... You can't send me a ticket. I have to buy it here.
You buy it for them online there. The safest way out of this is you say, I'll send you a ticket. You don't send them the money.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, when you're love struck, as I told you, good common sense goes right out the window.
Okay.
And
there can't be many of these.
You would be surprised.
And 1,000 to 1 hit, maybe.
That's all they need. If they get 1,000 to 1 hit, you got to realize they now send their spams in the hundreds of thousands. They don't have to hit often. They just have to hit. Because once they do, and they can get someone hooked, and there's a lot of people out there that have more money than sense. And
apparently.
And what happens, they get love struck, and suddenly when the guy or gal says, we don't know who the scammer really is. We do have some pictures of him in our books. But what they will start saying, usually it's something a little like, I need money. But if you don't have money, that doesn't stop them. The next thing they'll come up with is, I've got these checks I can't cash in Nigeria. Or I can't cash where I'm at. Can I send them to you? Would you cash them and send me the money? And usually they want a wire transfer. And you would be surprised. A lot of people just innocently think that's fine. So they go
now,
to the bank.
You're saying they're receiving the money, though.
Well, what they're doing, they're getting these checks. And you can get any check program and make all sorts of fake checks.
Right.
That's not a problem. And I've actually seen a lot of these scammer checks. And they look sort of real enough, but if you call the bank and say, can I check this account number, you'll find out probably half the time or three-fourths of the time, we don't have such an account in this bank.
Well, wouldn't that be the end of the scam?
If they were wise, yes. But unfortunately, when you're love struck and you want to do something to help him out, because that'll just seal it a little quicker.
But won't they go to the bank, see the checks are phony, and they'll write them back and say, you sent me a bunch of phony checks?
Well, exactly. What happens with these people? They'll go to the bank. The bank will look at them, and they'll look as real as any other check they get. So they will cash them, or they will put a 5-day hold and then cash them. That's their worst-case scenario. But at the end of 5 days, they're going to clear, because that's how our banking laws are. If the banker even suspects that's bad, there isn't anything he can do after 5 days.
But they're going to find out eventually.
Oh, yes, they do. And this is where it gets bad. These people, they cash the checks, they get the money, they send it to the scammer. Then about 3 weeks later, they get a phone call from the bank. You know those checks that you cashed about 3 weeks ago? Well, they're all rubber. So we want our money. And so
that would be the end of the scam. She's not going to be in love anymore after that.
But usually by that time, the scammer's gotten sometimes $3,000 or $4,000, $5,000 out of it.
Oh, that's small pickings.
And then
you can send $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 if this scam works so well. Why stop at $4,000 or $5,000?
Well, and you got to realize they aren't doing it just on one person at a time. They're working dozens of people at a time doing the same thing. And
are there any happy stories like like they get together and the scammer can't explain himself, but this woman is special, and they meet and live happily ever after?
I wish I could tell you one, but I've never found one in all the years of researching this that I've ever done.
There's not a break for anyone in all this?
Not really. In fact, the worst part is what happens to the person that cashes these checks. The bank calls in and says, either you make these checks good now, or we turn it over to the county attorney's office. And when the county attorney gets it, he's going to file theft charges. And I've
seen another... So they're in prison over this?
Yes, there are people in prison in almost every state in the union because of this.
Well, mind you, how do you protect society from really stupid people?
You can't. All you can do is you can start to educate these people. You have to tell them when you get checks from people you don't know, don't cash them. Or at least have the bank call the other bank and verify them. Because if they would do that, many times they would find out that no such account exists, because they're pulling these numbers out of thin air. And the sad part about checks is most of what you need to make a check is on the bottom of the check you sent. I've gotten to the point where I hardly use checks anymore, and I only send them to people I know.
Well, why is this apparently what you're saying, it's a major source of income for countries in West Africa.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't see why it shouldn't be a source of income for Americans or for anybody. How do you explain that?
Okay, once the money goes to Nigeria, the United States government or whatever government loses control, because Nigeria is not going to do much to help you. Even though we have Secret Service guys there now, FBI has an office in Lagos, Nigeria, cooperation is very limited and will continue to be such because it's politicians in those countries.
So you'll get busted in America if you do it. So you've got to find a refuge somewhere.
Yeah. Basically, if you try pulling a scam like this in the United States, they are going to catch you and you're going to do a lot of time. And so most scammers don't work from the country that they're pulling the scams on. They go to some place like Nigeria where they know that the laws will be very, very randomly enforced. And when they do, they're not going to go after the scamming syndicates that do most of the work. They're going to go raid some internet cafe where a bunch of 16-year-olds are trying to break into the business. So, you know,
this is corporate scamming?
We come
to get hired to run the computers, or are you doing it by yourself? I mean, how does the industry operate there?
Okay, breaks down into three groups. You'll have 16-year-old kids trying to break in, and they will do it from internet cafes. Because in Nigeria, you just can't walk in there, buy a house, and have them come in and put in an internet connection for you. It's very expensive. So what is cropped up in that country are what we call internet cafes. I've got a lot of pictures of them in the book.
Right.
And these kids will go into these internet cafes, and they will try their luck scamming. They don't make a lot of money. Start doing well, they get to the attention of what you would call a crime boss. And the crime bosses will pick out a group of these men, and they'll buy up a internet cafe, and they will do their scamming. They make quite a bit more.
So they have a financier behind them now, stage two.
Well, at stage two, they have somebody who's willing to buy the space. So, yeah, a little bit of a financier. But by the time they get to stage three, this is where we see Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, and all the rest of them coming into Nigeria. Remember Osama bin Laden in one of his quote, speeches. I don't think those tapes of him are real.
I'm not sure what you mean,
but they identified Nigeria as one of their target countries. And the reason they identified it is because of the scamming. And so what happens, they come in there, they get their converts, but then they buy houses, and because they're willing to pay the bribes, they get an internet connection in there, and they'll have 10, 15 people working out of houses doing this.
What's their tech?
And this is actually a syndicate. And all they
do is... What's the cut? If you're working for them and you're working hard, what's your cut? What are you going to make out of it?
Well, the scammers themselves will probably make maybe 10 to 15% off for what they do. But because they have such good equipment and they have such good support, they're going to make a lot more than they can in the internet cafe.
All right.
And then the other thing these places do is they set up fraud factories where they create all these fake checks. And I mean, they can even do a cashier's check, so unless you check the account numbers. And you know, most people don't question cashier's checks anymore. I do. I don't trust them a bit. I just tell them I want to see cold hard cash or I'm not interested. Because they also work Craigslist. For example, a friend of mine was trying to sell her piano. And so she put an ad on Craigslist. And sure enough, within a couple of days, somebody offered, something like twice what she asked for it. And they said he'd have a couple of guys by there to drop off the cashier's check and they'd pick up the piano. Well, she called me and told me about it, and I said, don't you dare touch it. You write that guy back and you tell him, unless you see cold hard cash in your hand, you're not interested. And they never called again.
Well, what can you say? That's local grifters.
Not necessarily.
What you're talking about is Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah, and I know you didn't mention the Hamas, but I get the general idea that somehow Arab terrorism is running the romance scammers in West Africa.
Okay, as I said, Nigeria is about 50% Christian in the south, and or about 50%, or half is Christian, but the other half is Islamic. Maybe a few animists mixed in, but that's getting pretty rare anymore. But as I say, it becomes an investment to them. They come in there, they take 50% off the top, leave some for the boss, and the actual scammer gets like 10 to 15%. You know, that isn't a lot of money. But
and
in that
the
part
money,
of the,
you're saying, you're talking, of course, billions of dollars. That's
right.
Really a very large amount of money. But you're saying it goes to buy, military equipment and terroristic equipment for Islamic organizations.
Exactly. They're
not in Nigeria.
No, they'll move that money out just as quick as they can. And Nigeria is a good place to launder money.
We have a 3-minute break. Stay on the line.
Sure.
Listen to the ads, and we'll be back in 3 minutes with my guest, Tom Mack. But I like this one, we'll see where everything goes. Tom, can you tell people where to get Cyber Love Solutions?
Okay, best thing to do is go onto our website, cyberlovedelusions.com, and
you can spell, I'd spell that, love,
C-Y-B-E-R-L-O-V-E-S, I-L-L-U-S-I-O-N-S .com.
Perfect, and you can buy the book there.
Yes.
Now,
or you can buy them on Amazon.
All right. Under what author's name?
Under Jonathan Van Helsing or Anna Alden Tyrrell.
Oh, those are two easy names. Spell either one of them.
Okay, Van Helsing is just like the movie, V-A-N, capital H-E-L-S-I-N-G.
All right. Now, I'm going to summarize this because we've got some other subjects. But in short, all right, you've proven that all kinds of very desperate people are willing to believe anything because someone is telling them a bunch of lies, and they're pouring money into Nigeria, and it's ending up in the coffers of Islamic terrorists. What do we do about it? Now that we've read this and learned, what's the object here?
Well, unfortunately, with the present administration, we're not able to get very far doing this. The biggest, it isn't legislation that's going to solve this. It's going to be education. Also, we've got to come up with ways to get these people to allow you to wire money to actually put some controls on where that money's going and to make sure that they are not getting scammed. It's really on the Western Unions, the MoneyGrams, and there's a couple other companies now that will wire money anywhere for you. In fact, when we were writing the book, we have an interview in there. The guy's name, we call him Toby. I got his real name, but you know, as a journalist, you don't give away your snitches. And
unless they do something bad to you, and then they've had it.
Yes. And in this case, he's been forthcoming with us. He told us a lot of things, and that entire interview is in the book. But before he would do that interview, he obviously wanted a little money. So I found myself about 2 in the morning, because that's the only time I could send it that his bosses wouldn't be watching. So I had to go out at 2 in the morning, find a convenience store, and even in the Dallas, Texas area, that isn't an easy thing to do. And I had to send him this money, and I had to listen to the clerk say, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And I explained, "No, I'm a journalist trying to get a story." And sure enough, he gave Anna the story, and it was very forthcoming. I was real surprised.
You're sure that he wasn't pulling your leg and doing his own scamming?
No, because we found what it did, it gave us clues so we could do our own research. And then we found out after getting a lot of clues from him that indeed what he was telling us was right. You know, it's one thing to get the snitch, it's another to get some verification another place.
Well, then I've got to recommend Cyber Love's Illusions. It's a bigger problem than people realize. Oh boy, my computer on any given day is just filled with emails. My wife had a virus from it was supposed to be Walgreens, and there was something on it that she wanted. She double-clicked, and that was it. The virus hit. Every 2 seconds there would be an application where they want your details, and she couldn't stop it. Let's just say that what's happening thing to the internet really is being slowly taken over by scammers.
And unfortunately, Congress is trying to put in some controls, but I don't think giving it control to the governments of the world is going to solve their problem. Because,
Is there some sort of technological answer to put a stop to this?
Number one, always get a good internet security program. There's several good ones out there. I personally use AVG Internet Security. But I also like ESET. I also like Norton. I also like McAfee.
I'm on AVG, and I had to take my computer to rub out all kinds of things they missed.
Yes. They're all going to miss. In fact, Norton actually admitted at a conference that they're lucky if they catch 40% of all the malware out there.
Well, it comes into our computers, and AVG or not, I suppose they stopped some terrible viruses, but my machine was pretty clogged up with all kinds, not so damaging viruses were pulled out of there.
Okay, one of the things you get a lot of, and this is probably 90% of the malware now, is tracking cookies. They put them on there to track your activities. My suggestion, and this is a free program, it's called Advanced System Care. It's from iobit, iobit.com. And you can get two free programs. One's called Advanced System Care. What it does is it goes through and cleans out the malware, gets rid of all the bad registry entries, gets rid of all the junk files you don't need anymore. Because my web history is not anybody's business but my own.
Well, after the show, you'll send me an email, and I'll try it. But let's stay on your work and not the industry's work. In short, what you're offering is, well, what can I say? It's the standard answer, just get some anti-malware and get a debugging unit and an antivirus unit. Everyone knows those answers, and they're not doing the trick.
Well, surprisingly, not everybody knows these things, because I get that question a lot. And, you know, I've been on the radio for years telling people to get these things, and they'll go to their computer shop and say, oh, just get an antivirus and you're fine. No. Antiviruses are actually a very, very small part of the market now, because everybody's watching for them. Because it doesn't pay even places like Yahoo to circulate viruses. You know, even though their email is free, so is Gmail's, and there's several other places you can get free emails. And they do their best to try to trap them, but they don't trap everything. But rule number one, and this is over and above everything else, if you see an attachment and you don't know the person,
these are easy ones.
Yeah.
And it's something we all follow, and what can I say? Anyone with a computer knows these things.
I wish they all did.
Well,
the other thing is stay off porn sites.
Why?
They are the number one droppers of malware, because they're going to track you, and they're going to push their filth off onto your. I'm sorry, I don't like.
No, porn. No. What are they going to do? What are they going to push?
They're going to put tracking programs on your computer to see what you like.
Yeah.
And then they're going to deliver advertising to you to get you to go to more porn sites. And what they do is they drop a little program. We call it spyware. And most antivirus software does not catch spyware. You have to buy separate programs that are going to catch spyware. And I get very irritated, because even just with the innocuous browsing I do, I catch 10, 15 a day. And so every day I have to run the thing and clear them off. And what those things will do is they will actually take up your memory, and suddenly your computer starts to run slow. And it's going to continue to run slow until you get them cleaned off. But if you get on a porn site, they're going to put so much on there, and it's going to be so well written, that the only thing you can practically do these days, and as I say, I did this for somebody just a couple of days ago, I just literally had to wipe the hard drive, reinstall the operating system, and their data was gone. If you're going to visit places like that, you're going to get malware, and I'm not going to be able to get it off. I don't care how good they are, you're not going to get it off.
Wow. And what does the malware do besides take up your memory?
Well, it tracks your activities, and if it's really good malware, they'll start stealing your passwords. So, like, for instance, if you go shopping at Walgreens, they'll see what your username and your password is, and then they'll start going to shopping at Walgreens, and half the time people say, oh, go ahead and save my credit card number. And so guess what? They go for buying on your credit card. And while you can get the credit card companies to take off the charges, you waste a lot of time before they finally will do it.
And wow. Well, if that's the case, there have to be tens of millions of computers deeply affected in this country.
There definitely is. And I wish I could say that more people actually have programs that look for spyware, but they don't. They say, oh, I don't want to slow down my system running these programs. And I say, well, then the spyware will slow it down for you. And even now I have a security program that does nothing but watch for these spywares.
But don't they have to be updated constantly?
Not necessarily. If you get the right programs, they'll just do that automatically.
Wow.
The one, two I mentioned from IoBit, if you buy their full program, they will go in every day and update their virus definitions and their malware definitions, and then they'll run on your system, and most of the time you'll just get a little box that says we cleared off so many tracking cookies.
Wow, that's pretty scary stuff.
Oh, it is. It's
well,
a nightmare.
Okay, I think we've run this subject, and we're heading into your computer knowledge, but this show is a little more your work, your books. I'm going to do another book. And by the way, I read the blurbs, and we might have a spirited discussion. You called the 9/11 disaster the war for the soul of America. That's...
Yes.
All right. Now, is that a book?
No. It actually was a newspaper article I wrote years and years ago. And it went into a Christian newspaper, and it basically said that America is facing the biggest test of its existence. And that test is whether we can literally survive. Because the bad guys just don't come around with guns and rob banks anymore.
No, they bury themselves in your government, and they foist horrible scams on the people. I hope that's what you meant.
Exactly. And the thing is, it isn't just government. They get into churches, they get into businesses, and they appear very legitimate. And you don't know the difference until it's way too late.
All right, what are we talking about here?
Well, for example, in the government, all all you have to do is look at the legislation that comes through. And now what's the biggest scam is how these senators and representatives are using their inside information to make a killing in the stock market. If I go do that, the SEC's going to come here with a SWAT team and arrest me, and I won't have to worry about where I'm going to live for the next 10-15 years.
Well, who are using inside information to make a killing in the stock market?
I'm talking about your elected senators and representatives.
How do they do that?
They get a lot of information over their desks, and they find out a lot of things just because they know ahead of time. Because, for example, if you're getting ready to write legislation on a certain subject, you can bet every company is going to know about it. And they're going to get their lobbyists in there to push their position. And eventually these guys are going to learn the ins and outs of what will happen if we do decide to pass this legislation and how will it affect these companies. And this is information they have because of their position. And they're going to know before you and I will know what legislation is going to go through and what legislation won't. And then
they'll be using their best instincts to buy the right stocks?
Yes.
And this is legal?
And right now it's legal for them, not legal for you and me.
No, I'm talking about when you're a senator or a congressperson, aren't there bans on you investing or during your time when you have access to sensitive material?
As I said, when they passed the original SEC law that banned insider trading, they exempted themselves.
Really?
You know, they do that with almost every law they pass. You know, what's good for us isn't good for them. So they're allowed to. It's amazing a lot of the things they get to do that. If you and I get
the whole government, everyone. Is abusing their positions to make money. Well, it doesn't just have to be the stock market. There's all kinds of ways to get great personal growth when you're a legislator. You're saying the whole government is run on this me, myself, invest, get rich kind of thinking?
I wouldn't say everybody, no. I know a lot of government people that have worked there. They're very dedicated to what they do. And it's some of them that I have a lot of respect for because they do their job, they do it well, and they don't use it to take advantage of their position. But as much as there are people like that, there are also people that realize that their government position gives them access to information which then can be used for them to take advantage of.
You know, in other countries, and I've lived in a couple, when you have access, government access to that kind of information, if you're a crook, you just get yourself a collaborator who won't mention your name and won't make you sign anything, and you'll pass him your money untraceable back to you. You have to take some trouble to do what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's called money laundering. And even though there's
okay. In essence, it is, but you have to do it. Now, what you're talking about is straight out in the open. If you're a legislator in Washington, you're allowed to do this.
Exactly. That's one of the biggest problems with the system is these guys will put in these rules, and they're good rules for the most part, but they will exempt themselves from that. You go read the legislation, you'll be amazed.
Well,
you'll just be amazed. And at first I started, when I was a young kid, my first job was working for the Iowa Department of Revenue. And one of the things I occasionally got to do is read the legislation. And the first thing that shocked me one day was I was reading there, and they were in the process of banning investment tax credit, which was a great boon for business in the 80s. And in fact, basically what it is, if you bought, say, a $5,000 piece of equipment, you'd get a credit of $500 off your income tax. And, you know, that would encourage people to buy equipment, hire people, and everything else. But back in 86, President Reagan decided that wasn't such a good thing to do, because it was costing us a lot in revenue. So they banned it. Well, when I took a look at that act, I was stunned to read that there were certain companies that could still get investment credit. And even to this day, you still find an IRS Form 3468, which is investment tax credit. Well, why do they have the form if you can't take it?
Okay, mm-hmm. I see the logic, but again, on paper you're saying, I don't know what you're saying. You're saying there's a law that says one thing, and quietly or not so quietly, there's a way around it.
Exactly. They're called loopholes.
And every law has these loopholes?
And most every piece of legislation you'll ever find has plenty of loopholes to protect their interests. Because you have to understand, a lot of these senators and representatives get in there because they get money. And that money comes from PACs, which are formed up by corporations. And even though the corporations cannot legally finance a campaign, well, actually they can now thanks to the Supreme Court, but for many years they could not. And so they would form these PACs, and the employees of this corporation would then contribute to the PACs, which would then turn around and support these senators and representatives to keep them in office.
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to talk more about the war for the soul of America. If we don't get, we're not even halfway through my notes, so we may have to have another show sometime, maybe soon even. But the 9/11 disaster, the war for the soul of America, is larger than just crooked politicians. You said they are even infiltrating churches, and you were starting to say something. But very shortly, we have to take a break.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's just for the news.
Well, that's good in a way.
Yes, I always go and make a cup of coffee, and I use the time wisely, but I'm back 2 minutes before, and we're off and running. But before we go to our break, and as I said, stay off the line just for 5 minutes, either listen to the news or make a cup of coffee. But before then, how do people get a hold of you?
Okay. Go ahead and write Tom Mack, 201 Raton Street, Suite 111, and that's in Trinidad, Colorado.
I would say, hold on, let's use the internet.
Okay.
Let's go.
Tom.Mack, M-A-C-K, at white, W-H-I-T-E, dash stone, S-T-O-N-E, dot org.
Do it one more time.
Tom.Mack at white-stone.org.
Perfect. Now, I'm going to plug me while I have a chance. Well, my listeners should know and should be buying my books. They're at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. You'll see a search box right in my name. C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's how you spell Chamish, and you'll get to my books. My website is www.barrychamish.com. That's easy enough to remember. We'll be back in 7 minutes. I've got a whole list of things. Ravine Bible Code, Runestone, Health, Music. I've got a whole bunch of things. We'll do as many as we can when we come back in 7 minutes.